I'm Dr. Don McDonald. Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse, the podcast. I believe one of the most valuable things you can give yourself as a chiropractor is taking time. Time to become more inspired, present, and focused. Weekly, I'll be bringing you stories of triumph, mindset shifts, and lessons from people who are breaking through their limitations. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Now, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and today I get to go back to London, England, and my guest today is Dr. Paul McCrossan. He's been in practice for 23 years, went to school in Australia. He's grown a great practice. He is very involved in the United Chiropractic Association. He helps out with people with complaints. He's given back to the profession, and he has years of wisdom, and I think this is going to be a wonderful conversation. Welcome to the call, Dr. Paul.
Great, John. Great to be here. And yeah, welcome to all your listeners.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I met you, actually me and Brandy met you probably about 7 or 8 years ago at the Edinburgh Lectures. Is that where we first met?
You know, I think it would have been, actually. It seems so long ago. I feel like I've known you guys for
forever.
But it would have been. Thanks to Ross. We can blame Ross McDonald for that.
Yeah, he organized it, so we all got together and got to hang out. And so we've seen it several places all around, and we've been able to keep in touch. And we really appreciate all of our vitalistic chiropractors around the world that are not only helping and serve people in their community, but also helping chiropractic in general. So like I like to do with all my interviews is I like to start off, and first I just joke around and say, have you always been this amazing?
well, look, I've always been this modest, Don.
Okay. Okay.
A continual work in progress, but...
That's awesome. Well, just because a lot of people out there realize everybody has usually modest beginnings, right? So they come from... Not everyone is just amazing out the chute, right? So let's just go back to why you even decided to be a chiropractor in the first place. How did this whole journey start?
You know, it's quite simple, actually. It made sense. And it's serendipity, really, why I'm practicing in the UK, because I've got a CA of mine who's back in Australia, and she's going, Paul, why the hell are you practicing over there when it's like it is over here, texting and messaging pictures of beaches, right? With my careers advisor was an Englishman, and he actually advised me to become a chiropractor because... For me, I thought back in Australia growing up, it was chiropractic, see a chiropractor on the corner, and I thought, okay, yeah, they're the guys that, you know, they fix backs and that's great. And I was always interested in health, but health in terms of promoting health and improving health, not necessarily, I didn't want to sit behind a desk and be doddling out prescriptions. You know, I wanted to use my hands, I wanted to be helping people to better themselves. And so, you know, I thought if I'm going to go a health route, a medical route, I'd have to be a surgeon, something like that. And so I was chatting to my careers advisor and Roy Whitehead, and this guy was 60. He was running marathons. He was a football coach. I mean, soccer. And
yeah. For North Americans.
Translate. And he was an inspirational guy, and he was fitter than a lot of the students. And I was having a chat to him. I said, look, I'm interested in all this. And he said, Paul, he says, you want to become a chiropractor? He said, he actually said to me, no offense to osteopaths, he said, don't become an osteopath. He said, go and become a chiropractor. And I thought, don't they just fix backs? So I read up about it, and I looked at the guide that students get. They get a little description. You've got all the professions and all the courses for university, and they've got this paragraph, and it says what it is. And it said chiropractors. Chiropractors focus on the spine, and the premise or the theory of chiropractic is that by working on spine, you improve the function of the nervous system and then people's health. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. And so it just made sense to me. And it just said in simple terms that basically spine, nervous system, function. And so at that point, I'd never been to a chiropractor, but I'd actually, and bear with me, Don, it's kind of like there's all these, you know, when you get completing lots of circles. Well, so I thought, okay, first thing I want to do, I think it's like I'm 17 years too late here. right?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to go and start getting adjusted. So I actually went, he introduced me to this student coordinator at RMIT, or it was Phillip Institute at that point, became RMIT in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And so I went along to him, started getting adjusted at the student clinic. So my first adjustment was by a student.
Oh, wow. And,
Peter Fraser, a Canadian. So thank you, Peter.
All right. Shout out to Peter, wherever he is.
Yeah. I think he might be back in Canada. And he has been practicing over here in the north of England. And so I just got into, started getting just never had any back pain or any problem like that. It was just like, right, okay, this makes sense. I need to start checking this out and getting adjusted. And the funny thing is that a friend of mine growing up, his mum was, she used to bake a bread. You go into the kitchen, you get all these weird smells. And she baked bread, and she was kind of like a bit of a hippie, you know. She's making her own bread. And, you know, if you know, she'd say, look, don't take drugs, you know. You need some honey, right, and some lemon. And, you know, growing up, and look, I've got to make a confession. I'm the son of a pharmacist, right? So
yeah,
my dad's was a drug dealer. And
Legal drug dealer.
Legal drug dealer, right? Although, credit to him, whenever I'd sort of go, can you bring me something home? He says, you don't need that stuff, right?
Yeah, there you go.
He used to say, you know, got a cold, just steam yourself and you know, and that'll help. So anyway, so this friend, he used to go to the chiropractor. And so his mum would take him to the chiropractor and as a kid, you know, I was growing up. So I went along to the chiropractor. And this chiropractor is the current president of the Chiropractic Association of Australia, and Andrew Lawrence. And so I went along, sat in the reception area and read a pamphlet about subluxation. And I read it and I thought, oh, you know, and I went home and I thought, I think I should be getting checked, right? And I'm a kid.
Yeah, totally. I have a spine. Hey, wait, I have a spine and nervous system.
Yeah, exactly. So there, I'm a kid. And so there you go. I've had my first touch, I call it, in terms of chiropractic. So for all us chiropractors out there, and we think people hear the story once and then bang, they're in chiropractic for life. It's a process. It's been a process for me. So, you know, I was, you know, I must have been probably about, I think about 10 or something at that point, right? So then I go to school. And then I have that second touch with my careers advisor. Says, okay, you want to be a chiropractor? Go and do it. And then I'm sitting in the kitchen table and I'm explaining to my father's got a friend coming around who's also a pharmacist. And he says, Paul, what do you want to do at university? And I'd actually enrolled in a science degree and then was going to transfer it into chiropractic after that. And I said, I want to become a chiropractor. He goes, oh, don't do that. Don't be one of them. One of them came to my Rotary meeting and, you know, they do a weekend course and blah, blah, blah. All the prejudice came out and says, don't do that. You know, you don't want to do that. And he started getting into me. And then to this day, I've never seen my dad get stuck in a friend in front of me, right? He's just of that generation where, you know, respectful. And he started getting stuck into him and said, have you ever been to a chiropractor? He goes, no. What do you know about it? Do you know anything about the education? Right, and I'm sitting back going, whoa, what's going on here? It works out that my dad had seen a chiropractor. I had no idea about it before I'd even considered the profession. Seen a chiropractor as a kid in New Zealand. So my father's like, I'm half and half, I'm half caste, right? So I'm half New Zealand, I suppose. And my, you know, dad's a Kiwi and I was brought up in Australia. So I'm the perennial winner at rugby. But anyway. So there I am, and he's getting stuck in him. And he'd seen Cyril Phelps, who was one of the first chiropractors in New Zealand. And his mum had taken him along as a kid, and he used to get adjusted, and he'd never told me, right? And
oh, really?
So independently, I'm going on this chiropractic journey, because I kind of feel like I thought, right, that's it, right? The universe, the world is telling me too many times that, you know, you've got to go and do this chiropractic thing. So there I go. Down into the student clinic at RMIT, start getting adjusted, transfer in, and that's the thing. So I didn't have the miracle. I didn't have any, you know, chiropractic didn't change my life in a clinical sense, yeah. But it kind of chose me, I feel, in a way. And so there it was. And so that was back in, graduated back in 94, and we got involved at university then and was, used to organise the seminars at university, so I'd have external speakers come in and speak to the students. And I suppose I've then continued onto it and getting involved in United Chiropractic Association in the UK. So here I am.
That's awesome. Well, how did you decide to, like, okay, first of all, let's go back to RMIT. So it's kind of interesting that you had that idea that chiropractic built the nervous system and kind of maximizing function. And then at RMIT, like, how was that experience for you? Was it like a little bit confusing at all if it was a little bit more mechanistic based, or how was that schooling for you?
Yeah, look, you know what, I got a lot to thank for them. I think we got a great education. We had a fantastic year level. We had a great year level of, you know, I went to, Brian Kelly was a couple of years above me. Well, and we've all seen what he's done at New Zealand College and then over at Life West. Yeah. And so there was just that influence and got very connected. The school and the chiropractic community was very close. We used to get some great people coming in to speak to us. Our lecturers and, you know, everyone's had the, let's say the lecturer who's the students are afraid of, okay, he's the hard ass, right? You know,
right.
And you've got to know your clinical stuff. And, you know, you think the most narrow scope type of, you know, just musculoskeletal chiropractor there could be, who used to be in practice and do all these weird funky things. And he said, you know what? We're here just to teach you to be safe, to know what is required, right? And so you go out there and you're not just using your a philosophy as a crutch, that you go, okay, look, you know what's going on, and then you can get out there and be safe in practice. And they gave us that. We had a lot of positive people come through, and I never got this message that, you know, if you think that chiropractic is about the nervous system and health, that you're some weird crazy person who's a hark or a throwback to the past, you know.
Yeah.
So it was good, you know, we got some philosophy, we got taught, you know, all the ologies that you needed, and, you know, fantastic lessons in neurology and radiology, skills that I'm using to this day. So look, I and some of my lifelong friends are from RMIT, so yeah, I know a lot of people want to get stuck into their college, but I've got a lot to thank them for, and I think that they did a pretty good job. Well, with me, I'd like to say.
Yeah, well, and I can. You were just talking before the show about having associates come on, and when you have, especially if you have new grads come on, even if they have come from a really principled school, to teach them kind of the ropes of practice, it just makes you realize, holy cow, have I ever learned an insane amount since I graduated? So basically, the schooling is just the bare foundation of your education, and there's so much that you learn afterwards, right? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, look, I think it gives you the privilege to call yourself a chiropractor and start learning, right? And they gave us enough of a spectrum, right? So that without saying this is what chiropractic is, right? They said, okay, this is what you need to know to call yourself a chiropractor, be safe, you know, go out and go on your journey. And it's right, you know, I've got some new associates coming and joining the practice at the moment. And it's interesting, I always feel, you know, I suppose it's the underdog thing. You think, oh man, there's so much, I'm still learning. I've still got to learn, there's so much to know. But then you start having chats and then you go, there's so much that you just take for granted that you're just doing, and you know, and that they just haven't had that experience. And it's great when you start to teach things and pass down. I had some fantastic mentors, and it's good to give back, particularly to young chiropractors, because a lot of them are lost. It's unfortunate. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. So what inspired you to move to England?
Oh, look, Don, it's about a girl.
Oh, that always. Oh, that's a good one. That's awesome. The best stories ever.
Yeah. It was about a girl. Oh, look, I was in a situation too where I was in Australia, and I thought, I've always wanted to live and work overseas. I thought, if I don't do it now, you know, I never will. And it's like, I could cut the umbilical cord and get out there. I practiced for a few years, did a lot of locum in Australia, where I learned how to do it and how not to do it.
Yeah.
And which was valuable experience. And I got paid to get that experience, which was even better. And so then I got approached to say, look, do you want to come over and help out in London? And I did. Girlfriend was over at the time, and So what ended up happening is that she went back and I stayed. And I was only coming for 6 months, and I keep renewing that 6 months.
Yeah.
So I've been here for 18 years now. I've married a beautiful British woman who you've met, Charlotte.
Yes, Charlotte's awesome.
We've got two kids. We've got a practice. And so, you know, I have the Australian passport. We can go back at any time, but we're still here.
You're on auto renew on your visa. No.
Kind of like, you know, the direct debit you have each month that you kind of forget about.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so yeah. So when you first opened, did you open as an associate in England, or did you open your own practice?
I did, I've done a bit of EV. I did some locum and the good thing about the UK is it's compact.
Right.
You can get around relatively easily. And so you can get a lot of experience in different places. And so I did that for a lot to help some people out. And then I worked in, there was a group of practices called Back to Health set up by a guy that in my year, Matt Flanagan. And so I helped him out with that. And he said, look, can you go in and help out in this practice up in North London? And, the guy there is from New York. And to be honest, he was kind of like, he was too New York for London and didn't really enjoy living in the UK. So I went over to help out and ended up just staying and cool. Developed that practice. And then just bought it, took it over, and then put our stamp on it. And so now we're NA Health and enjoying it. So the journey continues.
That's awesome. So back when you opened your practice, for people listening all around the world, maybe you can just shed a little bit of light on some of the restrictions that chiropractic's under in England compared to the rest of the world as far as advertising and stuff goes, and just maybe share a little bit about how you how you grew your practice with those rules and regulations and keeping within the rules.
Yeah, and look, I think that I first came over to England and chiropractic was deregulated when I first here. It wasn't regulated at all. So deregulation is the wrong word. Hadn't been regulated. Get deregulated.
Yeah, yeah. hadn't been born yet.
So and that adds challenges because regulation does have its advantages in terms of standards, but also it has its restrictions. And so starting up, you set up a practice, and as long as you're qualified, you had the right accreditation, you could work over here. It's more an issue of immigration, and you set up practice and you get out there. People would advertise as they wanted, and go out and do screenings and community events and grow your practice that way. Now, since the onset of registration, that hasn't changed a huge amount, other than just recently with advertising. And in some ways, when I first came over here, I used to compare to Australia. I go, look, Australia, it's a land of milk and honey. It's great, practicing over there. Everyone understands chiropractic is, and, this big chiropractic community. Come over here and people have no idea.
Right.
But that has its advantages. You have a clean slate and you can say this is chiropractic is. Now, if you look at it now, I think the restrictions in Australia are far worse than the restrictions in the UK.
Right.
Because you can advertise here. They have something called the Advertising Standards Authority. Mm-hmm. And it's the worldwide trend, I think, in terms of what you can say you can do and you can't do, is that if things aren't backed by an RCT, and without getting too much into the evidence-based argument, mm-hmm. that the plank that they go by in terms of advertising is it has to be with RCT. So that restricts what you can say and what you can claim. Mm-hmm. We also have the you've got skeptic groups which are putting pressure on and putting mass complaints into the regulator, much same as it happened over in Australia, and so that is putting even more pressure on. But effectively, there's fairly clear guidance of what you can say, what you can't say.
Okay, so it's not that complicated.
It's not that complicated. You can go out and you can still do community events. As long as you're practicing with integrity in a patient-centered model, then you're fine. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think, you know, it makes you say, talk about chiropractic rather than being a condition based. So yep. A lot of chiropractors promote themselves by a list of conditions. And we talk about condition based care. Then they come in and say, hey, this is a chiropractic story. It's not really that, it's this.
Yeah, we're about improving function, not treating conditions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So rather than, because I don't, you know, it's my belief, with the changes in regulation, in terms of advertising, right, mm-hmm. it's always been there. It's just been more enforced, and you have focus groups that have an agenda to try and certainly with anything what they view as complementary, right? It's not a lot different, but it hasn't affected most people's practice, or certainly my practice, in that people, I don't think, look on the web, type in and go, okay, headache or sciatica or, you know, colic, whatever it might be, right? Yeah. And so, okay, oh yeah, I hear a chiropractor. They've been directed to chiropractic in some way, and they're looking for a chiropractor. They've made that decision. And so they look at your website to go, where are you? Who are you? Do I get a good feeling from that? Where do I park and how much?
Right. Do they look somewhat credible? And they look at reviews. I know here they a lot of times they look at some reviews.
Definitely look at reviews. And yeah. We do. They look at reviews. And look, I have a lot of people that come in and say, look, we chose you because of your reviews. But people don't, I think, want to read pages and pages of theory and talk about various conditions, because I think they've already made up their mind. So I think that having a website that doesn't list conditions, one, you're less likely to get in trouble, but it also gets you focused on saying, look, this is what, let's be honest, this is what we do, this right. is what we do, come in and give it a try. And sure, then it's beholden on us as chiropractors to put into context people's symptoms, right? To have people to understand, look, you know, these days of saying, okay, look, we adjust subluxations and we don't deal with symptoms is kind of not dealing with the person. We've got a person in front of us.
Yep.
And if we have that conversation with them to say, hey, look, why do you think you're getting this? Why are you expressing? This is what we can do to support your system, right? It's not necessarily that we're treating that problem, to help your body deal with that and help your body better respond to that, and then have that conversation. Why is your body expressing that? And then you've got that. It takes the pressure off.
And, yeah, totally.
And, you know, what do you want to achieve? And have that conversation with someone. And that's where, you know, when we talk about complaints, it's about people having different expectations from the chiropractor. And so mm-hmm. you're talking on different tracks. And that goes for a certain period of time until suddenly that you're both talking a different language, have different goals. And that's when the disconnect happens.
Right.
And so if you can then, you know, put things in context and help people understand it, since then they feel, okay, you're connecting with the person. But also from a chiropractic point of view, it does mean, hey, look, we're not necessarily, you know, chiropractic isn't about getting rid of your back pain, but this is how you're manifesting the stress in your body. And let's work with you to help improve your function. And look, it's a great side effect of what we're doing. It helps you back to feel better.
Which I think that's pretty cool, because actually with the rules, we can practice more vitalistically, and it actually fits in perfect, because we're not making claims. We're working on improving function. And especially if you have objective findings where you can measure the improvement of function, like that's perfect.
Exactly. So it does make you focus on function, and also define on, okay, what sort of, you know, what's your scope of practice? And I think that's up to an individual. And it's one of the things that I you know, find really challenging about the profession, when people start the right and wrong game. It's like, my scope should be your scope and vice versa.
Great.
Right. You know, when the scope should be, okay, we want to be, you know, well, we call them, you know, practice member or member of the practice or patient, whatever.
Yeah.
Just say patient focused. You want to focus on the person and focus on them. And then, and whether you say, look, this is what I can offer you, as long as you're both clear and you're both going in the same direction, you know, that's, that to me is good ethical practice.
And I was gonna say just with your experience, and some people don't realize that you've helped out, right? You're an expert witness with sometimes with complaints that have been put in on chiropractors. And so for people out there, this is what you deal with, right? So that's probably one of the number one causes you find where someone puts in the complaint is communication, like missing in the night kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. The having, with certainly with our association, we haven't had a lot of members that have been caught up in a lot of these advertising things because they're tending not to advertise symptoms so much, right? And we're right not to, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right. The key thing is that if you get mixed expectations, right?
Right.
And it most complaints come down to communication. It's not that there's chiropractors that are trying to take advantage of people, that they're trying to mislead them, right? It's just that they're tending to not listen. So the key skill in communication is being able to listen. And there's a great TED talk I saw, you know, a couple of weeks ago. It was talking about the art of listening. And, you know, we're so keen to impart.
Yes.
It's so easy in communication to hear what you want to hear, right? To reinforce, you know, your belief. We'd rather actually listening, what is this person saying, and being able to pick up things and say, look, our expectation's a bit different, and explain this is what you want to do and give people choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is key. So give people choice, treat them like adults and say, you can do this or you can do that. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And then when you engage with the person on that level, right, then you're a partnership. And when you're working in that way, then people feel that they've been listened to. One of the main reasons why people, one, drop out of care, right, or certainly get disenfranchised is that they feel that they're not being listened to, you don't care, or perceived indifference is one of the main reasons. That's why people might complain. And in a lot of cases, if people are unhappy and you apologise and try and sort it out, that's all, it actually builds goodwill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing is, as chiropractors, we can be way down the track and we don't realize, like I said earlier, how much experience but also the journey that we've been on as chiropractors to get to where we are in practice. We have someone who has a very limited experience with chiropractic, and they might have a very different view to ours, and we need to take them on that journey or take them on the journey where they want to get to. So that is one of the key things, the reason why, is that mixed expectations, not being able to listen to people, is why people end up in front of regulators. And I think that applies worldwide.
Oh, 100%. I think that's the human condition, right? And a lot of times, even whether I'm coaching someone or talking to associate or whatever, I always say, that's why analogies are so amazing, because what you're doing for an analogy is you're actually finding out what that person, say, does for a job or what that person does. And it's a lot easier to link a new concept to something that they already know than to teach someone a brand new concept that they have no clue what it is. And in order to do the analogy that's relevant to them, you have to listen first. So I think that's a pretty cool way to kind of trigger that connection.
Yeah, the key is engaging with the person. Say, what are their goals? What do they want? And you're right. That skill of taking the known to help teach them the unknown is so important, because people learn from experience. And Martin Harvey's done some great stuff in this when he's talking about communication and influence. And people learn from the biggest way people understand experience. It's not from you tell them. Right.
Yes, totally.
What you tell them is the least way, the least effective way to influence someone.
Yep.
Right? Most effective way is from their experience. And if they tell you, if they relate back to you, then sure, that's going to have a high level of influence, but it's generally from their experience.
And just for the listeners out there, Dr. Martin, my man, was, I think, number 3 in the podcast. I think we're that was like many months ago. So if someone's just catching on to the podcast now, go back and look at that one, because he had a whole episode on communication, which was amazing.
Yeah. Get back there. For me, it's been great. What I realized and you know, it's helped to articulate what a lot of experienced chiropractors do intuitively.
Yeah.
And particularly if you're new in practice, it's really, really key stuff to be able to understand of people's health views And so if you can communicate it where they're at, you're on the same page. And that's, you know, communication's an art. It's a skill. We don't always get it right. I don't always get it right. And sometimes I know you just go, oh. You just grunt. You go, oh.
It's like, a bad, it's like a bad golf shot sometimes. You're like,
you go, yeah. No.
Right? But you recover quick, right?
You recover. That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, you recognize it, and you go, okay, I can sort that out. I can get back on the fairway.
Yeah.
I want to be a dinner food.
That's what I always heard before. The thing that differentiates a pro golfer from an amateur is the amateur makes a bad shot and it wrecks the rest of their season.
Yes.
And then a pro golfer, they just recover right away, right? So let's get back to your practice. What were some of the things that you did that really helped grow your practice when you're getting started?
Okay. So we do, one of the things I think is, as I said, it's being honest with people up front. So the approach that we have is people have a consultation, right? And look, you know, I have a consultation that I think the most important part of the consultation is the history and communicating and connecting with the person, right? Knowing what their goals are. So one of the key questions is asking what they want to achieve, how long they think it'll be, how is this affecting your life? What is this stopping them doing?
Right. Yeah.
You know, how would their life change if they could get rid of whatever, right? And so doing that, but then we have, and a lot of people use healthcare classes or whatever, and you know, you don't want that to be a, right here, we're going to lecture you on chiropractic and I'm going to tell you about what it is. It's, we have what we call the pre-care class. So after people have a consultation, they do a pre-care class where we sit there and explain the options for care, how care works, what some of the tests mean. So it's like part one of their report of findings.
Right.
We'll go through the general information so that when we go through the report of findings, they've already kind of go, do you know what? This makes sense to me. I want to get involved, right? Or they go, okay, this is not for me. So then you can have the report of findings and you sit there and say, look, as we spoke about, you know, what was the key thing that you got from that? This is where you're at. And then you can talk about their journey and help them. So I find that sort of openness and honesty and being, not being afraid to be that and not being afraid to let people go and to give them that choice frees you up.
Yes.
And over here, one of the key things is like where our practice is upstairs. It's just a doorway, you know, on the high road. And, yeah. You know, people come in and they go, how long have you been here? I go, 18, 20. I have no idea. I've been walking past your door for, you know, X number of years. I had no idea you're here. You know, it's the usual thing. And so getting out and I've been doing talks, screenings, community events, all of those is a great way to get your practice growing.
So you definitely grew your practice not based on location, location, location.
Absolutely not. You know, I think when the practice set up, it's like, we just want to get a location.
Exactly.
We just want to get a location that we can afford. And so it's upstairs, you know, in a high road, and it's just a doorway. So, yeah, you know, having the location, we had to compensate for that. So I think, yeah, if you can have you're on a corner, in the busy corner, that whole thing, yeah, absolutely, you're going to get people walking in. We don't have too many walk-ins.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But we always said, as long as they find your place once, they can always find your place again, right? So it's exactly. As long as they get there the first time.
Well, we had to get out in the community and let people know we were here.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, right? Because a lot of chiropractors starting up, they just stay inside their walls and hope people are coming, and you got to get out there, right? You got to get out.
No, you got to get out there. You got to get over yourself and realize that you're going out and you're giving people an opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. And have a chat to them. And again, give them choice, you know, don't get the high pressure on and say, look, here's an opportunity for you. And you know, we were out just last weekend and it was really successful as well, you know, to help. I was out to help support our new associates and get them going. And you know, I think, you know, one of my associates saw four new practice members just today.
That's awesome.
As a result of what we did last Saturday.
Yeah. You know, and that's great. It's nice because they don't know you. And actually we do our neuro test screenings where we're just, what's your score? Cause we're just measuring function. And, yeah. And we've seen tons and tons of people that have been regular practice members of ours who've had a massive benefit from chiropractic care who absolutely would have never come in if we wouldn't have been out in the community. So it's super important.
Oh yeah. Some of my best practice members I've met, you know, from, you know, gym, in a gym 18, 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I kind of think, you know, don't feel that we're too important to be able to get outside our front door.
Cool. Now, let's go to the next part, because as I always say, Tony Robbins has been one of my mentors too, and he talks about success is about 30% mechanics or the things to do and about 70% your mindset. Can you tell us about maybe some of the times where you've had some challenges with mindset in your practice, and then what are some of the strategies you did to kind of to overcome that to keep your state at a higher level?
Yeah, look, one thing, I'm a practitioner just like everyone else is, and I have all the same challenges that everyone else does. When you have, you know, we have people that are doing really well, they go along and see the GP, and the GP says, don't see the carpet.
Right.
And they have done amazingly well and had real changes in their life, but we just don't have that cultural authority, right? And yeah. The carpet gets ripped out. And that... you know, is upsetting, because one, it's very hard to understand, right? Particularly people with experience, right? So having people that don't commit to care when you know that they could really benefit from it. And you just got to get into that thing, go, okay, it's their choice. And being able to realize and not be interested and care, but don't care too much. And
right.
You know, Bill Esteb is very good on that. He says, don't care too much that it drags you down. And if you get in there and, you know, you're with them, but you give them the choice. And you go, it's their choice. It's their life. And, mm-hmm. and so that's the way to get over that, because when you're first in practice, right, and someone doesn't gel with your message or accept your message, you feel rejected.
Yeah.
And someone comes and goes, do you know what? You know, it's no good. Corporate no good. It hasn't helped me. The whole thing. You got to look in and go, what could I have done better, right? And yeah. learn from. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whenever and look, I've had when people complain, my mindset is that is feedback.
Right.
Feedback. If you can't grow, if you don't know, right?
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good one. You can't grow if you don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. So if we think that we're in this idea that everyone that we touch, right, is going to go, my God, this is amazing. I mean, we know that everyone we touch benefits from getting just, but doesn't mean that they necessarily know think the same, right?
Yeah.
And so if someone's unhappy for whatever reason, right, being able to manage that and go, hey, that's feedback, and look at it and go, where can we learn from that? That helps you, and that helps you your practice grow, and it helps you realize, you know, next time you can avoid that situation, and then you can have that communication. The difficult conversations are the ones where you actually get the most reward.
Yeah.
You know, when someone comes in, we all love those practice members that go, oh, you know, chiropractic, nervous system, fantastic, great. Oh, I'm down.
Right? Sign me up forever.
I'm here for life. And I'm bringing my family, right? You know, well, we had a lovely family come in, and the whole family come in last week, and that really gets me excited, because for me, you know, getting families under care and having that regular relationship is the most enjoyable part of practice. You know, for me, you know, having those relationships and seeing their kids grow from when they're young to they're old, and being part of that is great fun. Now, we all love that, but then by the same token, we have those people that are skeptical. Come in and they go, okay, what's this all about? And want to see me how many times, right? You know, and you know, I've got it here, and here, and I want to give you the load down before they get on the table, right? You know, when those people, when you know, turn around, or someone that complains about, look, you hurt me, and they've got their stuff that they bring in, and being able to go, do you know what? If I can just detach. And then help that person and really have them and have that person leave your practice that doesn't want to be in a practice, but leave and go, do you want, okay, that wasn't for me, right? But I had a good experience and I respect it.
Right.
Well, that's a good outcome. And
yes.
I feel we've got a responsibility to the profession, right? And then if someone comes along to chiropractor and then they have a bad experience and they don't kind of go, oh, right, it's just that chiropractor. They go, that is chiropractic.
That's the whole profession, yeah. It's not like one bad restaurant, all the restaurants I'll never eat again.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, someone, that's it. Yeah, I've got a bad restaurant. I'm never going to eat out again in my life.
I had one bad relationship. That's it. I'm single. Well, some people do that.
That's it. I had a bad curry. I'm never having curry in my life again. Right? That's probably not such a good example.
You might have had bad curry and that might have been bad. I always say, though, because I've had a couple and I can remember, like, off the top of my head, I got like three hardcore analytical practice members that have been with you for a long time, and they have trained me. And at first I dreaded every time they came in because they nailed me every single time, probably for about 2 months, every visit, nailed me with about three or four questions, right? And I was dreading it all the way earlier in practice. And I just laughed because once they run out of questions, once they run out of every question they have, they are in it to win it. And now they're your biggest fan, and they're a bigger fan than the person who just said, yeah, that sounds great at the beginning and just kind of accepted care. Like, this person's like, I drilled that guy. And I laugh because I said, now I am so prepared. So anybody can ask me a press question. I'm like, you're analytical, fire away. I'm ready. Let's go. Yeah, yeah. Like, I look forward to it now. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah. And those people are your great advocates because they've gone through and they know. As a person that's just, look, most people make decisions on emotion.
Yeah.
No, so the people will make an emotion, and that's where connecting with the person emotion is key, right? But then they'll use logic after that to go, okay, right, you know, what time do I have to come in?
Yeah.
How much is that going to be? Right. How's it going to work in my, you know, and then they go into their logic mode. And now you've got those analytic people that just kind of live in logic, right?
Yeah.
And so if they've gone through and they're the person who goes, what does that number mean? They look at the ENG, what's that number? And they look at the numbers rather than the graph, whatever it might be. But when those people get it, they get it. And, the other challenging person is the people that, I call them the plug-ins. You know, they go in the energy tablet, they go plug in, and it's like.
They suck your energy off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you go, and they leave the practice skipping and going, this is great. And you're kind of like, you know, just like this amoeba, right? Just trying to.
Just like a balloon that got deflated, and you're like.
Yeah, exactly. So learning to deal with that and be able to, you know, shoot and give that person and not be kind of thinking, oh my God, right? And be able to pick up that next person is key, right? Because
yeah.
I think that you talked about mindset earlier on. You know, practice, what drains practice is the emotional energy, not the physical.
You know,
I think that, you know, adjusting people that when you're in flow, physically isn't very draining. But it's about having your head in the right place and emotion. And then you know, when you've got your own practice and you've got, you know, you've got to be dealing with all the other factors around it. You know, your HR issues, you've got to deal with, you know, regulatory compliance, you've got to deal with your landlord. In our case, you know, we had a leaking roof, you know, all of this sort of stuff, which takes you away.
Yeah, from your focus.
From that focus, like we were mentioning earlier on, you know, that.
The one thing.
The one thing, so that we're not multitasking.
Yeah.
All of that stuff, being able to protect yourself from that is a real skill, and that's mindset and being able to get things around you, the people around you that allow you to do what only you can do. Mm-hmm. And that's it's certainly an approach that, you know, with the practice is trying to have it so that I do only things that I can do, right? And as much as there's other things I love to do, if there's other people who can do them, it's better to that they do it so that I can focus on just doing the things that I can do, right?
And 100%.
And that's being able to drill that down, I think, is really, really important. Getting the right people around you to allow you to fly, but also you want to allow them to fly as well.
Right. How do you keep inspired? How does Dr. Paul keep himself rocking and rolling? What do you have any rituals or anything that you do to keep yourself sharp?
Do you know, exercise is key, and that is one of the big things. You know, we've got a 6-month-old baby and a toddler, and so it's like it's suddenly your life's all about someone else, and then you can get off track a little bit, you know, and you kind of don't exercise quite as much, and then you're juggling things, and so exercise is a key thing, and being able to schedule that in, and Charlotte loves to exercise as well, so it's good she appreciates that my need to do that. And vice versa, but getting ourselves timetables so we can do that. And look, just continually growing, like things like your podcast, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. There's so many resources out there. There's almost too many, right?
Great.
It's about being able to sort of nail it down and have some things where you can, I think, fill your tank up.
Yeah.
Intellectually, right? Adjusting, right? And you know, getting in the flow and then seeing people and listening to people. For me, a big value for me is gratitude. When people just say, look, you know, thank you, and just seeing that change, that just fills me up.
Yeah.
Also talking about, like, for, you know, doing things like going out and doing talks, etc. Mm-hmm. That really, you know, being able to go out into the public and talk about chiropractic. We do a lot of teacher talks with, you know, stress talks, etc. Right, going out there and giving,
mm-hmm.
giving people some tips. So, you know, the old give to get. You go out and say, hey, here's some skills that you can use, whether you get adjusted or not, and then. If people want to then get adjusted, then they can. So doing that, and so contributing, contribution is key. And also, I enjoy my work that I do with the UCA when I'm helping other chiropractors, you know, and I can chat to a chiropractor and in a difficult situation, right, and I can help them say, look, you know, you've got someone that's on your wavelength to help you out, not sit there and say, you stupid.
blank.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
So you know, getting there and contributing to the profession,
mm-hmm.
I'm the vice president of the UCA and doing that, that really gets me. So having that different stimulation and look, you know, we I caught up with Brandy in in San Francisco last year. We came in and you know, involved in a meeting with the ASRF, setting research agenda, things like that. You know,
yeah.
You know, you're in there contributing, and that's a great thing in this profession. You could be involved from ground level to the top level really quite easily.
Yes,
be that from, you know, being involved in students to be involved in regulating. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that too, you just get out when you're serving others, you're always going to get more fulfilled. And sometimes when I think some chiropractors get stuck in practice, they get kind of stuck in themselves. And then that's where it kind of gets more stale, because it's when you're serving others, you're getting that feedback and it's like a circular energy flow. And when you're stuck in yourself, it's just all stagnant and stuck.
Exactly. Look, with the advent of, you know, so many Facebook groups out there, you can be connected to other chiropractors, and you need to get with people at your level in chiropractic and you, you know, get that tribe around you, to help keep you on track. We all need that, you know, we all need a coach, you know, so having coaching people, you can bounce things off and be vulnerable.
Yes. 100%.
Is really, really important, you know, and, I like to mentor other people, but I need to be mentored as well. And so being solo, sitting in practice in solo, thinking it's just you in isolation, right, just leads to decay.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to burnout. So I think connecting with other chiropractors, people on our wavelength, is really important. And, you know, that's why you see, you know, the really big conferences, you can see that just charges people up on that like-minded.
Yeah, totally.
People in the same tribe.
Yeah. Well, in closing, I always like to have my guests have a couple of minutes to speak to all chiropractors around the world now listening to this podcast and giving any words of wisdom for any of the underdogs out there that might feel like they're an underdog or be kind of stagnant in their life or just having any challenges. And do you have any words of wisdom to share with them?
Yeah. Look, what I was mentioning before is get that peer group around you that builds you up. And have people that you can chat to and that you can get that support from and just, yeah, be okay with being vulnerable, have that around you. And I talk about success is about flexible persistence, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be persistent. And, you know, when you get to a hurdle, we all get to hurdles. Don't just, think, okay, it's a brick wall, right? It's a hurdle. It's something you can jump over. But then if you realize, okay, do you know what? We're going the wrong direction. Don't be afraid to change, right? But you need to give things a chance. You need to be persistent.
Well, I think that's great because unless you're moving, it's hard to change direction, right? So it's kind of, you got to be doing something to be able to know that that's not working to pivot.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And that's the thing is always, yeah, if you're not moving, you're going backwards. You know, we know that. So always be looking to, and being thankful too. It's so easy to look about where you're not, right? When you forget about where you've come from.
Right.
And so being, we talk about present time consciousness, but just being present and just go, hey, look, having a look at, you know, the things that you've done and being grateful and congratulating yourself, say, hey, you know, when you look at it, you go, do you know what? I'm not that bad after all. Right. We all have that I'm not good enough thing on a level.
Yes.
Right. But then when you look at that and you change your frame of reference and your perspective, you can go, you know what? Actually, I'm pretty damn good, you know? And
everybody in your car right now, just yell out, I'm pretty damn good when you're listening to this podcast. Good. Yeah, there you go.
I'm pretty damn good. Exactly. Like you said at the start, what made you so amazing? It's like, well, I just had a look.
it was just being aware that you're amazing. Mike Southwick was one of our interviewers too, and he always says, we're born amazing, but then sometimes we forget about it as we kind of go through life with trauma. So, hopefully we might get a chance to see you in London because we're coming over to do the Vitality Shift, I think, June 23rd in London. So I don't know, maybe we'll have a chance to go for dinner or something with you. For anybody out there who's in England, if you go to trueconceptseminars.com, you can take a look and see we're going to be there and doing one of our immersion vitality shifts. Dr. Paul, thanks so much for being on the podcast. That was amazing.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. And, you know, Canada is a great place. As I was saying earlier on, when I first got into practice, I spent some time in Canada in Saskatchewan. And, you know, that's heart and soul of Canada. And Canada is like Australia, but with snow and mountains and, you know, and a great attitude. So it's
and no big gross spiders, just so you know.
No.
And I had to tell Paul too that activator is not illegal anymore, so that he was happy to know that if you didn't have an activator, you'd be thrown in jail. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a pleasure,
John. That's awesome. So everybody, there's tons of information on there. You know, the biggest things we covered was connection. Remember, let people go if they're not the right fit. Give them choice, and don't forget to crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.